Hello, hello. All right. There is something about hearing a testimony, eh? I had two buddies that came to church on Sunday. And they're like, I could take or leave the message, but those stories, they weren't believers, but they just, yeah, it does something. Anyway, we haven't even got started yet. Well, we're in John chapter 15. But before we read, it is as if the image of the vine and the branches isn't enough. I'm going to give you another one. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a business startup. You haven't heard this one before. But instead of your typical startup with a plan, 10-year plan to build this great shiny company and then sell to the big dog, this founder had different ideas. Instead of selling to the highest bidder and then retiring on a sandy beach somewhere, his plan was to take his success and to buy up all the failed companies whose owners ran them into the ground and are riddled with debt. And he doesn't buy these companies on the cheap. He pays top dollar for them. Everything he has. He leaves his family estate. He enters the trenches alongside the failed companies, rebuilding them from the ground up. He introduces his culture. He rewrites the company values, uses his personal funds to repair the damages, and then pays the ultimate price to pay off their debt. Well, I have the privilege of taking the theme text this morning and studying it a little bit together, looking at what friendship looks like from the perfect friend, Christ himself. And as we study, I'd like to just ask three questions. How was Christ a friend to his disciples? What did being a friend produce in them? And how does this apply to us? But before we get stuck into verse 12 here, we must understand the context. Jesus is in the middle of using a metaphor about a vine and its branches. So rather than summarizing it, we're just going to read it again together, starting in verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and with others, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And let's go to verse 12 right away here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. for all that I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the greatest of friends, and we thank you for looking out for us, for loving us in a way that we could never love you. Lord, I ask that we would know your love this morning, and that you would speak through this text to us. Amen. All right, well, got 3 points this morning, if I can get through them. The first point is going to be the model of friendship. Sorry? You can do it. I can do it. Okay, all right. As we start with verse 12, let's look at it again. I'm gonna repeat myself a lot as we read this text because the first line starts with love one another, love one another. And as we look through these three verses, we'll see that really the purpose of everything that he's saying in these six verses up until verse 17 is all about that. Because he ends verse 17, he says the same thing. He said, "These things I've commanded you, that you would love one another." Kind of frames it in. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And then he's going to hit the climax in verse 14 and 15, but we're not there yet. So this is my commandment to you, he says. One command. Remember when Jesus was asked which was the greatest commandment? He summed it up into two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Interesting that he chooses one this time around. But he doesn't say to love one another or love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He actually says, as I have loved you. He says to love as I have loved you. That's the standard. This is an impossible command. Jesus is love incarnate. And he's commanding them to love as he has done. And then what does he say in verse 13? Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, what's fascinating here is this is before the cross that he's talking. He's saying, love as I have loved, and I lay down my life for my friends. And I actually think, really, Jesus has already laid down his life for his friends at this point in many ways. I think it's intentional because he's asking them to love the same way that he has loved. So let's just look at a few ways that he has loved his disciples. This is a very short list, but it's worth thinking about. So he revealed the words of his Father to them, number one. We see that right in the passage. He welcomed them into his family. He calls his Father their Father. He showed them how to live. He lovingly corrected their faults. He comforted them when they were mourning. He mourned with them. He was gracious to them when they deserted him. He washed their dirty first century feet. He carried their infirmities and their diseases. He chose them to follow him while they were completely lost. He left his seat of glory next to his Father to walk beside them. He loved them with the greatest love. I do encourage everyone this afternoon, perhaps during the free time, to go away and make your own list of how he's loved you. It'll be a long list. He laid down his life for them before the nails ever pierced his hands and his feet. He was the perfect friend. He is the perfect friend. Now, as we're setting a framework for what friendship looks like, I'd like us to notice how one-sided this friendship is. Often we think of friendship as a two-way street, but I think the Bible tells a different story. He does things for them that we could never do for him. He lays down his life. He reveals the Father's plans. He welcomes them into his family. He chooses them before they ever choose him. The friendship begins entirely from his side. We've all experienced it if we're in Christ. But in verse 14, Jesus says something truly extraordinary. And that takes me to my second point, the privilege of friendship. Let's read it together. 14 and 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus is the perfect friend and the very image of what friendship is intended to be. But here he says, you are my friends. You are my friends. What does he mean by that, talking to his disciples? Only a few people in the Old Testament, two that I could find, did God ever call his friends, Abraham and maybe Moses. But Jesus looks at this ragtag group of disciples and says, no longer do I call you servants, I've called you friends. I've called you friends. That's astonishing. It's astonishing. How is this possible? Jesus needs nothing for them. It's ludicrous to think they can offer him anything. In fact, when writing the epistles years later, Peter, Paul, James, Jude, all still refer to themselves as servants of Christ. So what's Jesus talking about? What does he mean, you are my friends? I think the answer comes in the next verse. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's go back to the business analogy just for a minute. Jesus didn't need these men. He chose them. He bought those failing companies and brought the broken disciples into his inner circle. All that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you, it says. He shared the mission with them. They were employees. Now they're shareholders. He showed them the 10-year plan. They know where he's going. They know what he's up to. They're bought in. They no longer follow orders to keep them from being fired. They find ways to do his bidding without him asking. In his company, his first employees were the disciples. They started out as his apprentices. Follow me, Jesus said to them. They didn't know where he was going. They didn't know what his mission was. They didn't even know who he was. But they followed. Then as they walked with them, with him, they talked to him, and he showed them what he was up to. He told them where he was headed. He told them everything that his Father had given him. He shared his mission with them. And we later see, as we read through the book of Acts, that the disciples really had changed. They were no longer following orders. They were no longer clocking in and clocking out. They were staying up all night because the mission was burning in their bones. This is the unshakable foundation, folks. Have you felt it? Have you been stunned by his friendship? Think back on those 3 years of Jesus walking with his disciples. There were times he would teach them in length, but much of the time they watched him work, trying to figure out what he was doing, and they asked him questions. I bet he longed to hear their questions. He was waiting for it. Christ longs for us, like his disciples, to be friends. Not in the same way that he is our friend, but that we would listen to his desires, his plans, his intentions, and make them our own. This is not to say that servanthood is a bad thing at all. Let's be clear. We've already looked at how the apostles still refer to themselves as servants. And I think it's probably more appropriate to do so. from our perspective. They served him with their lives, and most of them lay down their lives for the sake of the church. But Christ calls his disciples his friends. He decides to do that. And by extension, us, if we are in him. That's a privilege, not a right. And that brings us to our final point. The desire of friendship. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So what do we do with this friendship? This love that has been lavished upon us. Think back to the metaphor of the vine and the branches. The sap flowing through the vine into the branches. It always flows downstream. The vine dresser waters the vine. The vine produces what the branches need, and the branches produce fruit. And what is that fruit? That is the million-dollar question. It took me hours to figure out, but it was worth the fight. I could be several things, I think. You know, it could be people, more disciples. Could be the fruits of the Spirit we see later on. But I think fundamentally at its core in this passage, the fruit is the love pouring out of us for those around us to enjoy. Everything we need flows down the vine. But isn't it interesting, the only thing that flows up the vine is worship, thanksgiving, praise, adoration. Let's turn to John, 1 John, real quick here, and read what he says. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Sounds awfully similar to verse 12, doesn't it? "This is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." In fact, this love we see is evidence that we are his friends. "You are my friends if you do what I command." And what has he commanded? To love. Jesus is not describing how to earn his friendship. This is not possible. He's describing what his friendship produces in us. The servant obeys out of duty. The friend obeys out of love. The servant wants instructions. The friend understands the mission. Christ's friendship comes first. Our obedience follows as fruit. Also, notice this for a minute. Everything we need flows down the vine. Have you experienced his friendship? So we long to see fruit on our branch, not for us, but for the world. So what do we do? What does it say we do if we're lacking this fruit? What can we do about it? How can we get closer to the vine? How can we abide in the vine? Well, I believe he gives us his answer here. Verse 16 says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, this verse has been taken the wrong way many times. But let's not forget the metaphor we're in. We're a branch on a vine producing grapes. What do we want? What do we want as branches? We want fruit. So everything we need to produce that fruit, that's what we're asking for from the vine. If we're in him, that's what we're interested in. This passage is all saying the same thing, folks. So let's close it out, verse 17. These things I command you, that you would love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us, and you love us well. You love us very well. Lord, may we love those around us, even a fraction as well, as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.